This is the PhD cast from PhD Australia. This week, we report all the news and debates from this week's agency symposium in the Hunter Valley. The great and the good of the media world gathered to discuss the current state and the future of media and advertising agencies in Australia and indeed the world. Disruption, displacement, innovation, and more on this week's PhD cast from PhD Australia. Hey, I'm Chris Stevenson. Joining me on this week's PhD cast, a host of regulars, including Christian.
Hello.
Lauren.
Hi.
Nicola.
Hi.
Emma.
Hello.
And Stu.
I'm back. Woo!
And Stu, welcome back, first of
Thank
all.
Thank you.
The PhD cast has been an unseemingly positive podcast for the last few weeks.
Listeners have been dropping like flies about me being here.
Yeah, it's been like freaking Wizard of Oz. It's been far too merry.
We'll definitely stop that today.
Well, we're talking the current state and future of media agencies.
Well, exactly.
Today,
so in which case?
We were reporting this week from the agency symposium, which happened at the start of this week up in the Hunter Valley, organised through Ashton Media. It saw a meeting of around 100 or so of the great and good from media agencies and media owner land all gather in the Hunter Valley to hear 50 speakers over the course of two and a little bit days, 2 days really, discuss the future and current state of advertising and media agencies. The huge spread of speakers, all of which are focusing and thinking about and addressing the current state of media. I was lucky enough to be there, and what we're going to do today is dissect some of the main themes that came out of that conference and that were discussed there and then. Chatham House rules applied, and so whilst of course we'll be talking and discussing what was said, we will not be attributing who said what. Okay, so first up, and the first main theme was really disruption, and there was a now general acknowledgement that the disruption that first hit the music industry from what was described as the distribution miracle that is the internet, and the disruption that first hit the music industry and then hit print is heading towards agencies, that it is the consultancy services themselves that are about to be disrupted and indeed potentially even disintermediated in their entirety. Some really interesting comments around this. One of the keynotes said that given the choice between change and death, most people choose to die. Other keynotes focused on some of the responses in the industry to that disruption and what they're doing about it. But generally what everyone agreed is that the model is increasingly working less. For a whole load of reasons, which we can talk about, and there was talk of blowing up the very model itself, that incremental change isn't enough, we've got to blow the model up. Where do we stand in terms of the, let's start with the media model, does it need to be blown up? Is there now consensus here that we need to blow up the agency model and start again?
Yes, I would totally blow up the agency model if I had the opportunity to. Just because I think we've talked about this a lot of time on the podcast and around how we're not remunerated enough for our ideas, and from a strategy point of view that's quite painful and hurtful. So it'd be great to stop being remunerated and our business model solely focused on how we buy media, because no longer is that it's a commoditized aspect, so there's no longer it's going to be differentiated for agencies. So we actually should be started to be paid for the ideas that we come up with.
I 100% agree. I'd also say that, like, from a pitching perspective, we should be paid to pitch, or at least our costs should be covered, because it's a lot of money to invest not only actual dollars that we invest in building things for people, but also the time that everyone takes away from their standard job or extra time that they end up putting in needs to be remunerated, I think.
One of the panelists on the first night was 100% clear on this. They said that we should all just make the call now that pitching comes at a cost. Yeah. And it would be nominal, and that cost would be taken off any fees when appointed. But one of the things it would do is it would stop this merry-go-round of putting 10 agencies into a pitch.
Completely. And also, some pitches are about driving incremental value from your existing partners. And quite often we'll be in situations where we're doing a lot of work, a lot of man hours, and it's evident the client has no expectations that we're going to actually win. We're just giving fodder for
an incumbent to work harder.
And that is that's prevalent across our industry.
And one of the observations about we talked about margins earlier. One of the suggestions was that the reason why there are tighter and tighter margins is because clients are moving from a predication of effectiveness, what is the best return I can get from investment, to pure efficiency. How cheap can I get my media? And that's the increase of procurement, that's the increase of FDs and finance at the top seats in businesses. Is this something that we're experiencing?
Yes, I have been in a lot of pitches.
She's at a hard line efficiency over there.
It's not that we're necessarily driving it, but in all the pitches that I have been in, there increasingly are very minutely detailed trading documents that we have to fill in to be able to show that we are going to get the best rate. And it's getting to the point where they actually just take old media schedules and drop it into the template and go, make sure you can buy what has already been bought for us better than our current agency. And that's where I start to wonder whether or not it's not just what Stu was saying before, not just an exercise to make their current media agency work harder.
Yeah.
It's just really kind of shopping rates, and it doesn't seem like they're really interested in ideas.
I mean, I don't know what you think, Chris, but for me, those two things aren't separate. They should be separate, and they're increasingly considered separate. Like, your media should be efficient, and what you buy should be efficient. But unless it's effective, it's pointless efficiency.
Mm.
So I don't understand why. We increasingly see actually those two words being used in different ways, and I don't see that they're mutually exclusive. And I think we should be always striving for effective comm solution. Mm. And even we say that you should overinvest in sometimes and be slightly less efficient if you're going to get high returns for what you're doing.
I mean, 100% agree. I think it's about squares and rectangles. A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle isn't a square. So efficiency is part of an effectiveness equation. Mm. Effectiveness is not part of an efficiency equation. And that if you focus on the efficiency bit, you are not focusing on what counts, which is effective return for any investment, let alone media spend.
And do you think that can sort of hamper the creativity element of our job as well? Because, you know, going on to sort of, I know some of your sort of other points from the presentations, talking about this need for innovation and being most creative, but at the same time, what we have to answer at the end of the day is an efficiency or a best buy or that kind of thing. So do you think the two things are sort of jarred?
The two things are absolutely diametrically opposed. Now, and then this is the crux, I think, really, of our client's dilemma. I mean, our marketing people are, and our marketing clients are very much being forced to a place. And there was one quote from a client who put it beautifully. She was quoted as saying that I am tasked with delivering unpredictable marketing solutions that have incredibly predictable marketing effects.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a beautiful encapsulation of, I think, the dilemma of the modern marketer.
And I think so often, like, we get we get asked to come up with these like creative different ideas. The brief says something innovative, something exciting, and then what always it comes back to, and what they ever, let's go back to what we know, perhaps, and let's go back to the safest
TV.
yeah,
and
I think that there's an interesting cultural angle in this as well. And going back to the original part of the question or the discussion here around paying for pictures and paying for ideas, there are some clients out there, there's some advertisers out there that do pay their, not even existing partners, but they will pay people to become part of their partnership through a pitch process, and all of a sudden as soon as you enter into a pitch process with them, you're effectively in their village of partners, and there's that respect, and that breeds a qualitative culture. And whether or not those people are, you know, all the agencies aren't going to be winners in that situation. However, what comes out of those advertisers when they go in with that kind of respect to partners is they come out with more creative work, and arguably...
And do you think that's genuinely true? Do you think that in that kind of context, the work that is leaving that agency community is better?
I think if there was a way of being able to quantitatively look at the value of the qualitative relationship, then I think, yes, knowing the advertisers that do have that kind of respect to agencies and will pay for pitches, I think that going back long term, yes, they end up being the ones that have the most accoladed, the most respected, the kind of campaigns that we look at as an industry and really respect and kind of go, God, I would have loved to have been on that because there's an amazing insight there. And so I think that from a qualitative and cultural point of view, I think it pays back. As well.
I guess it goes back for me to that first point around disrupt, like, because actually I think a lot of the responsibility does lie with us as the media agency. So our models have been built around commission, right? And it's really hard to get away from that model. And increasingly we talk about commission, increasingly we talk about effectively buying media cheaper, basically, which is a premise. And when you look at, from a marketeer's point of view, when you're looking at econometric studies that show advertising has a 2% max effect on your sales volume, you go, okay, so that if I was just equating effort and we spend 2% of my time maximum on advertising, mm-hmm. and all I want to do is the cheapest media, because basically that's what we've been set up to provide, and some creative that puts in that space. So I think for us we kind of over-egg our own kind of ambition around that and make sure we kind of put ourselves in that. So going back to the original point.
So we fueled that efficiency fire.
Absolutely, yeah, we should be there. I do believe we should be disrupting that model more and actually thinking differently about how we get remunerated. So yes, we've got man hours and those kind of things, but actually about profit share or NPD launches and stuff like that, we could get very involved in more upstream in the business and that completely changed the model. And
I think that the model requires a completely new framework of there's automation to be able to do X percentage of that, but that then comes down to relationship, and it becomes to having that more upstream partnership and being able to deliver on what these marketing goals are. And as marketing goalposts change because of, you know, volatile market conditions, then the better relationships you have, and relationships will be stronger if everyone's equally getting paid, you know, a decent whack, and there isn't that imbalance.
It's interesting. Sorry, I was going to say, because I think clients are not equal as well, so I would much rather have a client who would pay for a pitch and therefore profit share in an NPD, for example, than I would a client that just wants a transactional relationship with their media agency.
And I bet you that the outcome would end up being a more creative solution.
Yeah.
Or a solution.
And resultantly a higher ROI.
And a higher ROI, exactly.
Yeah, completely.
But it genuinely comes back to actually how marketers behave when it comes to the agency, so but how they are actually handling them, whether it's a partnership or whether they just actually handling them as
transactional.
As transactional, exactly. So if it's a buying house or not. And I think it also comes through when you just take a look at a pitch process. So normally a pitch process kind of, apart from the chemistry meetings, etc., it starts with strategy, but the end point is always purchase power. So I don't know how many times you actually heard about agencies getting out of the pitch cycle because of strategy, because most of the time, my feeling is at least, they are pushed until the end because clients just want to remunerate them on prices and just to make the best deal out of the whole process, basically. Which absolutely kills the power of idea.
I think the thing I like about increasing I've seen in the last couple of years is that you're getting more transparency on briefs and pitches around what percentage is buying. And what, I mean, transparency is a loose word as well in this sense, but
there's declared.
Yeah, declared transparency where 60% of this pitch
or claimed, I suppose,
will be about the buying ability, and then the rest will be around strategic prowess or planning. And that's a new thing for me, and I've seen that increasingly more in the last couple of years, which is brilliant. But I think you're right, there is that kind of buying shop mentality that I think clients still have about media agencies, which is hard to get away from.
Is it also comes back to actually how clients are remunerated themselves? So is it come coming back to their internal evaluation process, for instance, how much money I'm actually spending on partner agencies versus how much money I'm actually...
And there's certainly massive pressure on client investment in things like marketing services.
Yeah. I think it's just a hard thing for them to kind of be able to quantify, and that's because it's such a difficult thing to be able to directly quantify to their P&L or their profit. Then they go to the lowest common denominator, which is always how much you're paying for it. And in that world, we're never going to be able to win.
And a lot of the conversation, a lot of the talk was around changing and shifting competitive sets. This was around there were two main angles on this. One is the increasing convergence of different parts of the industry because of the expansion of specialist areas. So for example, content and social are two obvious areas where these are services that can be provided from very different kinds of agencies that at one time would have done very different things, but now can do the same thing. So what kind of results and effects are we seeing from this increase in the internal competition within the agency?
Right now, on a client that we work across, we're actually discussing social with the client, but unfortunately, we've got three other agencies involved, a creative agency, a digital creative agency, and a PR agency, who are all also fighting for social. So
all of whom are perfectly equipped.
Exactly.
They are all perfectly equipped to deliver social media solutions.
Exactly. So we, at this point, have gone, you know what? There's too many people fighting for it, so we're just going to step back on this project at the time being, because it just raises a lot of tension and conflict between all the agencies when everyone's trying to fight for the same pile of
money. We've actually stepped back from it.
So we've actually stepped back
from it. We'll talk about that later on.
We've actually stepped back from it because it is just... It's a three-way fight. We've already done some work for the client in the social space. They know that we're capable of it. On this particular project, we've said, you know what, it's not worth fighting for at this point.
Yeah, we're not going to pitch for something we've already done. You know that we can do, and that we've demonstrated delivery on.
Exactly. So we've just said this one we're going to leave to have the other guys fight it out if they really want to. But it also then allows us to build stronger relationships by not fighting with the other agencies. Then we actually can have a better relationship with them.
I think it's a really interesting dynamic around. So going back to how kind of media land is remunerated. So, and we do operate at very small margins. If we've got agencies across the spectrum that are offering very similar services, then the thing that's going to kind of differentiate is, as Lauren said, relationships and how the type of relationship and trust you have with the client. If going back to our model, we don't have enough manpower and resource to be able to over-service in the same way that other agencies do. So PR, creative agencies have, I would argue, a better relationship sometimes with clients just because they have more time and ability to do that. In those opportunities, we are always going to lose out because we won't have the ability to build that relationship. We build it through longevity versus frequency, if you like. So it takes a long time to be with a client to go and get those additional services, where I think other agencies have the ability to go in and service them quicker.
And sell harder in the short term.
And that is that dynamic, going back to the remuneration model, will absolutely define how we kind of sell our additional services. So that for me will be kind of survival of the fittest, to be honest.
Yeah, a very good point was made about the difference between where a lot of the industry is now, where there's overdeveloped services, client needs are very satisfied, we've got a very overserved markets, loads of producers, really low margins. That's where the industry generally has gotten to, whether it's creative, whether it's PR, whether it's media. It isn't just a media situation. Versus what was termed the underdeveloped services, where you've got unsatisfied client needs, you've got underserved markets, you've got few providers, you've got high margins, and that was the context that was then reinforced when people were talking about the new kind of models and the new kind of agencies that were emerging. How easy is it to identify these underdeveloped services. Someone made the point there are four P's in communications, and we're just focusing on the last of those. We only really focus on promotion, which is the last one. And the point was made that the new role for agencies has got to be to create value for marketers in ways that have nothing to do with a message. We've got to get past promotion and think about pricing, products, and how easy is it to do that? And how many good examples do we see of agencies and other marketing providers doing that?
I think it opens another can of worms in that there's other external partners that advertisers and brands will work with that have those set of expertise to help develop new products or to help on distribution and things like that. So I think it actually starts flattening out and trying to diversify a series of experts that work in promotion. And if we then start trying to be, you know, let alone a full service marketing promotion agency, if we try and start being a full service marketing full stop agency, set of agencies, and I think that actually just opens up more competition, opens up less chance of being able to get remunerated, because, sorry, I can't say that word.
No, it's hard, isn't it?
Remunerated. Because I'd say that we're on the back foot because we don't have those skills and expertise.
But that's exactly the result we've seen mm-hmm. in other industries. That's exactly where music is now. So the music industry has now got everyone from Spotify through to EMI, through to radio stations, through to Pandora's. It's now a wide open, diverse market where you've got a balance between what's being provided and serviced. You could also argue that journalism and print media has now got bloggers in the mix. It's now got citizen journalism.
But I think that's the evolution of industry. And so I think that to what degree is evolution come from existing players versus where does evolution come from new entrants and new players? And so that could be absolutely the next wave, but as opposed to looking at the existing landscape.
But here's the thing, disruption is coming, and disruption will come externally.
It will come externally. Yeah.
The question is, and the great thing that I thought about the symposium this week, is that people are no longer asking ourselves, do we need to change? It's almost like we're past that. We've seen what's happened to the music industry. We've seen what's happened to the print industry. We know disruption is coming. But do we want other people to disrupt us, or do we want to disrupt ourselves? And do we want to innovate to create those new solutions, those new models, those new revenue streams that will happen from other people if we don't?
I think it's interesting because I kind of agree with Nicola, I think, around... So we've got a longer tail of services, and that's increasingly happening. There's more competition in different agencies' skill set. For me, that does go back around understanding and owning our core competencies, which is around media planning and understanding media buying and efficiencies. And I think because of that, we've got distracted a little bit and lost our way as an industry. The media land has focused on driving additional services and creating additional revenue. But actually, we should go back to what we're good at, which is understanding consumers, coming up with awesome communication ideas, getting media that's efficient and right for the client solution, but getting properly paid for doing that. And that, for me, is what we should be focusing on.
But we're being disrupted even on those core competencies. One senior client at the symposium made the point that a company called MarketShare have genuinely cracked the code on how you spend media across channels and what metrics you apply. I mean, that whole sentence, the fact that it doesn't apply to a media agency, is profoundly scary,
that
right?
That point is devoid unless you can put it in context and be able to buy the media, understand consumer insight.
Write the theme tunes,
exactly.
Sing the theme tunes.
Like, that's why diversified services are quite niche, and that's why we are in such a strong position as the media industry, because we're good at what we do. We understand things that different sectors do not, and let's just get better at understanding those things and really own them so that we protect ourselves, future-proof ourselves, to stop the longer tail of agencies trying to take that, and then just make sure that we don't try and kind of confuse our offering and be really clear about what. And I do think it goes back to how we get paid, and it's not just about being paid on commission, because that's one part of what we do. What we offer is huge and hugely valuable to clients, so get them to acknowledge that and pay for that accordingly.
I absolutely agree, actually, with Stu as well, and what we really need to be cautious of is we need to pick our battles in this, because I think as soon as we pick our battles outside this battlefield, that's communication planning, the whole thing becomes a little bit, it just loses somehow credibility, and I think we have a lot to lose on that, versus those battles about social media or content, we definitely can pick them, because then it comes back to our expertise, it comes back to the consumer, it comes back to what we know about the brand and how we service our clients.
I think it's really interesting, cause like for Emma, for example, like obviously you work as a area that has a lot of crossover in different agencies, mm-hmm. but the power of you being at PhD is that you have access to the understanding of how things are bought, which is hugely important. Consumer insight that no other agency arguably has access to, and also relationships around like, the big idea or how communications and other elements should be flighted. So to have that as part of a media agency that has a strong background in planning and implementation is invaluable, and I think we should be celebrating that aspect, not necessarily just the area around kind of social content.
Yeah, thank you, Sue.
No,
I completely agree, and I think what something that we talk about quite a lot is taking some of the, it's not just sort of the buying side, but looking at things like sort of the data and the measurement, which can really set us apart. So not just sort of, you know, there's this question about sort of social data and how we measure things and looking at sort of modelling that in an ROI sense, but it gives us a strong proposition to measure it against or alongside all the other media that we're doing. And I think, yeah. you know, rather than sitting in a silo, which it quite often does other places, we've got a huge benefit with having the sort of the data and the measurement expertise here as well.
And so going back to something that Christian was saying, how do we go about picking those battles? How do you go about picking those fights? One client said that creative and media are now interlinked, and it's the glue is content, and it's content where the battle lines are being drawn. It will be a war of wars, and it will be great for clients, said a client. Can we afford not to go into that fight? And how much are we prepared to pay to win that fight for credibility in the content space?
I think it's. I go back to like a sports metaphor. So it would be like the Klitschko brothers fighting against each other, because actually what we need to be
we're nodding, but yes, we're nodding on the podcast.
It's basically whoever wins, because what's good generally for the industry is what it implies, there's going to be better and more good ideas, but at the same time we need to also acknowledge that if somebody was better than us, and then we have to step back, as Lauren said as well before, and then we have to contribute to actually make that idea happen. So it's kind of it's a really bizarre kind of way of competing against each other really seriously, but at the same time when we lose, we have to lose with grace and we have to actually help out the winner.
Yeah, for me, I completely agree. Like, what that sentence doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like, content, we've already talked about so many times on the podcast how it means absolutely nothing. Of course we're going to compete with content because what we do is surrounded by content. If you want content that has the environment as a consideration to that content, then a media agency is absolutely natural. If you want a content that's driven from a creative product or a creative idea, then naturally go to a creative agency. So for me, those lines aren't as blurred as we sometimes think they are.
But also,
and it doesn't mean anything. Content.
Content as a huge kind of
content could be anything.
That thing is so sensitized to disruption. I mean, it only takes the next YouTube or it only takes the next platform for content. And then what's going to happen? That is going to need to get commercialised. And where are those people going to come to order to commercialise that? Back to a media agency, because they have the skills and they have the backing and the equipment to be able to connect that audience on a platform to that content. So then I think that we head back to where we started to go, we need to get better at what we already do to be able to deal with disruption, what that could look like tomorrow or in 10 years' time, because that disruption can come from anywhere.
And that is all we've got time for. I feel like this one can and will run and run. Loads of debate from what was an awesome symposium up in Hunter Valley this week. And huge kudos to Ashton Media for putting it together. Thanks to all you guys for taking part on the PhD cast.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next week.
from PHP Australia. You can like us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, or find us on Google Plus at PhD Australia.